Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A 25 lighters on my dresser, yes, sir. You know I got to get paid.
I know there's repercussions for being late, Mr. Chairman. I was late and didn't get in, but I realized even if you were early, you still couldn't get in to see the governor. So I mean,
we'll have some. Boy, I knew the conservative Democrat would hit the Republicans, but don't worry, enjoy that, Commissioner May.
I'm one of them. I tried. I was at Civicon, but I was late. But anyway, it was still always good to be on the campus of Pensacola State since we both graduated. So I'm glad that we were in the same company.
Escambia County Commissioner District 3 Lumen May joking about not being able to see the governor because he got there late, but apparently being there on time wasn't enough to get you in anyway, with all the people who got turned away. Mike Kohler, who was one of the people that got turned away, talking about that incident at the Pensacola State College. I still haven't figured out what my noun is for this event. I guess we could just generically call it an event. This distraction attack ad press conference?
Okay, got to talk a little bit about this board and give it some love. And get Commissioner May excited and then sad. So the first week of May, we voted collectively to put a letter to turn down Mr. Yenner. He wasn't the right fit for University of West Florida. Four of us are alumni there. I thought it was the right vote. I did not realize that it was going to start, you know, a forest fire over in Tallahassee. Then the city followed with the city council unanimously, and the mayor followed. Thought that was the right decision, had no input on that.
Yeah, so the city did, the county did, both sent letters about their objection to Scott Yenner for UWF and to some of the others, I believe, were kind of mentioned for being, you know, out of the area and not connected to the area.
Shortly after that, Representative Salzman put forth a bill that obviously there's several, we'll get to that, supported yesterday, 104-8. In support of that bill that would have a person from the state of Florida be represented on the Board of Trustees, which I don't know where the other board falls, but I support that.
Yeah, and among other matters in that bill.
Unfortunately, on Tuesday wasn't, in my opinion, the best day for our governor, even though I'm a big supporter of the governor. It came across that anyone that went against the governor in support going against Mr. Yenner as the president on the Board of Trustees of UWF was going to be retaliated against. I did not find that in the best Florida leadership that I'm used to from the governor, and it was actually very petty.
It was. And I mean, that's entirely what it was. It was retaliation against Alex Andrade and Michelle Salzman for daring to question his policies, his people, his way of doing things, running a bill that undermines his authority. And it was a full-blown attack conference is what it was. It was a smear campaign. I mean, it was really bizarre, right? We talked about this a bunch.
After that, I got contacted, I think, by every media source in Escambia County asking what the situation was. And I honestly didn't know. But Commissioner Stroberger and I were there. They didn't let city councilwomen in there. They wouldn't let anyone in that had a Michelle Salzman shirt on. And I just think it wasn't the best day for the area.
It was most definitely not the best day for the area and for the governor.
Well, the vote yesterday, and then, of course, we were not the board directly, but our state representatives were called out as basically being woke and liberal and things that just aren't true. Representative Andrade has, I think, the most conservative record in the House of Representatives in the state of Florida. That's just not a true statement. And so, and I know Representative Salzman is very conservative as well.
Yeah, both true. I did just a quick check. The CPAC score for Alex Andrade's career is 94. A most recent score, it's not been updated, but that was what it was. CPAC score for Michelle Salzman is 88, so very high on the conservative ranking scale. That's exactly right. Calling them liberals, colluders, they're bringing about Marxist presence. All of this flowery rhetoric that at one point in the past might have flown just did not work for DeSantis when he came to town on Tuesday.
The governor, I support the governor. The governor's always welcome in this chamber. He's always welcome. I campaigned for the governor. I walked him in to see President Trump at Fort Myers at Luminosity Hotel in 2020. I opened up to speak for him when he ran. I do not want to be at odds with the governor, but it's obviously that he probably needs to reflect on this decision and realize the people of the state of Florida support having Florida Indians represent them at their university. So,
by the way, that was such a kind way to say it, and that's exactly right. Is he needs to reflect some more. And by the way, can I just tell you my favorite part of this commentary by Mike Kohler is, you know what he did after he got done talking about that?
And the last thing, which is way more important than all that, is Easter weekend for me. Billions of people across the world represent or consider Easter their hope for the future. I'm one of them as a believer. And for anyone that believes that we have a Savior and this is our weekend, I want to say happy Easter and let's celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's all I have.
Oh, man. Way to bring it around, brother. That's good stuff. I'll take it. 615 News Radio 92.3. It is Good Friday, the day we remember the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And, of course, that's looking forward to the celebration of the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Sunday. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, even Highway 90, 98, Garcon Point, all these areas are running smoothly this morning. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line, sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Hall's Hardware in Milton.
It's tax season. By now, we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now, here's a good number, 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed. Save up to 40% in your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for dogs. As the headline in that venerated publication of truthiness, Mother Jones proclaimed, "Bad news for man's best friend, dogs are environmental villains." According to research published in the journal Pacific Conservation Biology, dogs are a menace to vulnerable species such as small birds. The insecticides in flea and tick medicine kill aquatic invertebrates when they wash into waterways. Dog urine kills grass. And of course, we know the fundamental problem of unscoopered poopers. And don't even get me started on the high carbon paw print. The CO2 emitted globally just in the production of dry pet food is twice as much as the entire United Kingdom, making Purina, Pedigree, Hill's Science Diet, and Iams, sometimes referred to as the Four Horsemen of the Dogpocalypse, equivalent to the 60th largest nation in the unnecessary production of globe-destroying gases. But people never consider these problems because they think dogs are just cute, cuddly face lickers that come with no ecological price tag. And of course, this doesn't include the barking, the biting, and the production of allergy-inflaming dander. But just from a climate salvation perspective, dogs are basically the Antichrist. Now, I know that some of you will reply that you adore your dogs, or that they are good for your mental health and reduce your chronic low-grade anxiety. I understand. But do you forget the core lessons of our denomination? There is always a cost to virtue. As demonstrated by the pronouncements of the 23rd Biannual Symposium of the Frankfurt Council on the Continuous Eradication of Joy, the only way to know your own virtue is to constantly discover and master new ways of becoming miserable. This, of course, is just a rephrasing of the 15th corollary of the Ankenberg theorem: to be free, one must be good, and to be good, one must be miserable. Therefore, the key to freedom is misery. Or as Comrade Pinion stated it so eloquently, you shall know the unhappiness, and the unhappiness shall set you free. Well, nothing could make people more unhappy than getting rid of their dogs. So let's say goodbye to these polluting pets, these caustic canines, these malicious mutts, and advance into the glorious unhappiness of being progressive. Besides, as devoted 54th wave feminists, we always knew there had to be something deeply wrong with any animal whose branding slogan is man's best friend. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the Blue Origin Six, those sultry intercontinental man-eating glamstronauts who spent a whopping 11 minutes on the edge of space this week, proving that with the purchase of enough shiny blue Lycra, anyone really can pretend to be an astronaut. That's right, Katy Perry, Lauren Sanchez, Gail King, Carrie Ann Flynn, Amanda Nguyen, and Aisha Bowe paid only Gaia knows how much money to play near-space diva for the day in a planet-killing exercise of pure and incomprehensible waste. As bombshell influencer Emily Ratajkowski, TikTok's most acclaimed intellectual and philanthropist, commented afterwards,
"That space mission this morning, that's end time. Like, this is beyond parody."
That's bleeping end times beyond parody indeed. When supposed female leaders compromise everything they believe in just to experience a few minutes of waving daisies in front of their weightless bosoms, it really is a tragedy for the entire cause.
Saying that you care about Mother Earth and it's about Mother Earth and you're going up in a spaceship that is built and paid for by a company that's single-handedly destroying the planet.
If you really cared about our dear Gaia, you would never have driven this gas-spewing dagger into her heart. Just imagine how many poor people could have been fed bologna sandwiches with all the money that was literally lit on fire and thrown up into not quite space.
Look at the state of the world and think about how many resources went into putting these women into space. For what? For what? What was the marketing there? And then to try to make it like, I'm disgusted.
And if you weren't sure whether MRAD alone could pronounce judgment on this wanton display of disregard for the future of our planet, she was joined by the dynamic and powerful duo of Olivia Munn and Olivia Wilde, both who condemned the flight as a waste of money at a time when people, quote, can't even afford eggs. Yes, why should anyone go into space when some people are having trouble buying food? Just as St. Harrison Bergeron taught us, since nobody should ever experience a better life than anyone else in any way, we must create the purest form of equality, the equality of squalor. In a system of equality based on the redistribution of poverty, we would no longer have rich, famous, beautiful women traveling frivolously into the sky while people back on the planet can barely afford eggs. Instead, under the ideal socialist utopia, no one would go into space, and everyone would still lack the money to purchase eggs. But we would all be the same, and the planet would live forever like a monument to the imposed equality of American anti-exceptionalism that we all stand for. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, this week's Golden Tambourine with a single left-footed Birkenstock award goes to Molly Ringwald, the former star of every movie John Hughes actually made or wanted to make. At a 40th anniversary reunion event for The Breakfast Club at the C2E2 Pop Culture event in Chicago, Mademoiselle Molly laid out her reasons for regretting the existence of this mega-famous coming-of-age film set in the detention library of Shermer High School. Discussing the prospect of a remake, she said, "I personally don't believe in remaking that movie because I think this movie is very much of its time. She went on to explain that The Breakfast Club...
It's very white, this movie. You don't see a lot of different ethnicities. We don't talk about gender, none of that. And I feel like that really doesn't represent our world today. So I...
Talk about first-rate virtue analysis. So here we have a movie that pretends to be some representational tribute to the entirety of Generation X, when in reality, it excludes African-Americans, Asians, Hispanics. Emilio Estevez is far too Caucasian to count as Latinx. The poor, the homeless, the illiterate, and the disabled, none of whom are represented in the movie. And even though we shouldn't have to say the obvious part out loud, not a single ambassador of the holy acronym string appeared in this film at all. Just a bunch of privileged, straight, middle-class white kids whose only experience of suffering is apparently a few hours being forced to sit in an air-conditioned building surrounded by a sea of books that some other kids their age wouldn't even have access to or be able to read. And then to top off all this heteronormative fraud of a class struggle story that most definitely has not aged well, the central defining characteristic of the two romantic plot lines is misogyny. As Ringwald said, Judd Nelson's character John Bender, who essentially sexually harasses my character, never apologizes for any of it. Nevertheless, he gets the girl in the end? Yes, Bender might pontificate about the imperfections of a universe in which door screws simply fall out, but he most certainly would not have survived the Me Too era. And don't forget Ally Sheedy, whose character can only snag the jock by losing her individual gothiness and getting a makeover into the cheerleader archetype by Claire, the queen of the plastics. What is the lesson to little girls? Change who you are to get a man, and when you do, maybe you'll be lucky enough to get one who insults you, degrades you, and looks up your skirt when he hides under your desk? No. Molly Ringwald is exactly right. And in making these stern observations about The Breakfast Club, she has officially passed the very first test of a true and approved celebrity. Renouncing your own past work by applying the impossible standards of the present against it in a soul-crushing critique. It is very important for actresses to repudiate their prior work, since the essence of virtue revisionism is to judge the past by the standards of today and condemn even yourself in the past as proof that you are evolving to the current definition of virtue despite your shame and your unusual talent for applying lipstick entirely with your bosom. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
John, you gotta stop laughing. You're gonna make it so I can't go on.
I can't.
All right, tell them about traffic, sir.
The golden tambourine with the left Birkenstock.
Just one left Birkenstock. Yeah. I know. Not the full award.
All right, so no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, even 98 and 90 and Highway 29 all look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So if you are in need of any kind of construction assistance, you need to get supplies for your project, whether you're just a home, handyman, or whether you're actually a builder for a living, Pensacola Hardware, that's your place. They take care.
Tornado damage being reported this morning across Nebraska and western Iowa. Apparently sirens started going off last night there. A wedge tornado was seen near the town of Essex about 9 o'clock last night. Police in Central America say a U.S. citizen hijacked a small plane at knife point yesterday in Belize. Officials say the American had commandeered a Tropic Air Belize flight that had 13 passengers on board and demanded to be taken out of the country.
But?
Three passengers were injured with knife wounds. The hijacker was killed by a passenger with a firearm.
Don't bring a knife to a gunfight on an airplane. Simple lesson. And see, this is actually a great example of the whole, does it help to have a good guy with a gun to stop a bad guy with a gun or a knife? And in this case, having a gun on a plane protected people.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit of a contrast with the conversation that we often hear surrounding these things. We'll talk about that a little bit coming up.
News on Beyond the Delosi, a federal appeals court says it's shocking that the Trump administration claims it can't do anything to free Kilmer Abrego Garcia from an El Salvador prison. The panel, led by Judge J. Harvey Wilkinson, denied the administration's effort to appeal a deposition mandate.
Wilkinson wrote, "The government's asserting a right to stash away residents of this country in foreign prisons without the semblance of due process."
That's Fox's Jill Nato. Secretary of State Marco Rubio saying the U.S. will abandon efforts to end the war in Ukraine if progress proves to be impossible in the coming days.
We need to determine very quickly now, and I'm talking about a matter of days, whether or not this is doable over the next few weeks. If it is, we're in. If it's not, then we have other priorities to focus on as well.
U.S., European, and Ukrainian officials met yesterday in France. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a beautiful morning right now. We've got 64 degrees and sunshine this morning. The alleged Florida State University shooter was no stranger to the Leon County Sheriff's Office. Identified as 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner, the shooter's accused of killing two men and injuring six people yesterday in the shooting at the school's campus near the student union. The 20-year-old is the son of Leon County Deputy Jessica Eichner.
Unfortunately, her son had access to one of her weapons, and that was one of the weapons that was found at the scene. And we are continuing that investigation into how that weapon was used and what other weapons perhaps he may have had access to.
Sheriff Walter McNeil, he says Phoenix was in the LCSO family and had engaged in a number of their training programs, including their youth advisory council. Phoenix was shot by police, but he's expected to survive. The six surviving victims are also in stable condition today. Governor Ron DeSantis sending prayers to the FSU community following that incident.
This killer must and will be brought to justice to the fullest extent of the law.
The governor posting a video on his X page yesterday. He says he and his family are mourning those who were killed and thinking of those who were hurt. He also praised law enforcement, said there's no doubt that they saved lives with their response. Well, students are still processing those tragic events.
It's, something that I won't forget. But I know that, this is a really tight-knit community. I think this is really going to bring us together as college students.
FSU junior Christopher Malav, students held a memorial last night. They laid flowers, balloons, and candles in honor of the victims. The Escambia Board of Commissioners Chair Mike Kohler says he was one of several people turned away from Governor Ron DeSantis' press event at Pensacola State College this week.
Commissioner Stroberger and I were there. They didn't let city councilwomen in there. They wouldn't let anyone in that had a Michelle Salzman shirt on. And I just think it wasn't the best day for the area.
And that from yesterday's Board of County Commissioners meeting. Of course, people being turned away from that meeting was first reported here on News Radio 92.3. Mike Kohler said he's been a supporter of Governor DeSantis, but he does not believe that's the leadership he's used to seeing from him. He said he found the whole thing to be petty. Kohler said the retaliation came after the board voted to write a letter against Scott Yenner as the UWF trustee chair last month. Well, Pensacola police say last Thursday there was a little bit of a pattern.
Thursday night was burglary night. We had two burglaries near 9th Avenue and Escalona, also 9th and Fairfield, both involving residences. Both of these residences had cameras. We're always preaching to get those cameras because it sure helps us out, and it did in this case. Suspect was found near there walking and was identified by one of those cameras, by both of those cameras at each home.
That's PPD's Mike Wood, but that's not all. In addition to those burglaries, there was a third incident. Four women reportedly broke into the Blue Wahoo Stadium. They were caught leaving with ketchup packets from the concession stand. Wood says while that seems minor, it constitutes burglary. Those women are now dealing with a felony charge. 6:35 in News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 29, even 98 are flowing very smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays on the big board. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with temperatures near 79 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. Going into Saturday, beautiful weather continues with partly cloudy skies and a high near 80. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Keeping that nice weather around through that Easter Sunday with partly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees, and by Sunday night, temperatures near 68. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it is a beautiful morning, 64 degrees in Pensacola, 65 in Gulf Breeze, and seeing a report of 55 in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Ukraine said it had signed the basis of a minerals deal with the U.S., although the details of the agreement are yet to be announced. President Trump and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told reporters a more comprehensive agreement would be signed next week. The Trump administration has announced fees on Chinese-built vessels. Steep levies on Chinese-made ships arriving at U.S. ports have been proposed, up to as much as $1.5 million, as part of a plan to bring more ship manufacturing back to the U.S., a policy which has bipartisan support. On CNBC, the former chief of the Department of Justice Antitrust Division, Jonathan Cantor, described how the advertising landscape might start to change now that Alphabet's Google has lost two antitrust cases brought on by the government. He said there will now be new opportunities for businesses to monetize AI through advertising by means other than Google. Futures are mixed. Dow futures are down by more than 450 points alone. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend, and she said, "Oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours." And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
and they stay there.
Because I am sad to say that one of our own local representatives, Alex Andrade, has decided to interject himself into the mix. He's actually taking shots at our governor. Governor, just so you know, you are in DeSantis country, and these people, they know Alex Andrade well. I don't have to tell them that Andrade has a history of fighting conservative Republicans. And again, don't take it personally. Chris Smith has actually challenged Representative Andrade to a boxing match this summer. That's how well-liked Alex Andrade is in the district. So I just thought you might want to have that in your back pocket, Governor. We're joined today by the mayor of the city of Milton, who is yet another casualty of Andrade's lawfare tactics. You see, Alex Andrade used to be city attorney of Milton, where he literally sued the mayor. I'm happy to report that after the 2024 election, the new Milton City Council fired Andrade as city attorney.
So DeSantis gets errand boy Joel Rudman to come in to PSC and give the list of hit piece exaggerations and mischaracterizations about Alex Andrade, including importing people from Santa Rosa County and the Pitchfork Posse. It's amazing stuff. Joining us now by phone, the aforementioned State Representative Alex Andrade, District 2. He did get one fact right. You know, he is the former mayor. He is the former attorney for the city of Milton. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How's your week been?
Not nearly as interesting as yours. Did you sue the mayor? Because I remember being the city council that instructed you to sue the mayor, but maybe I misremember.
I was directed by my client to go collect some public records, and I happened to be successful at it. Chris Smith and I get along just fine.
You guys were supposed to fight like at Island Fights in January or in October. And I know were training with Larry Downs, but I mean, what's this all about?
Nothing. I mean, Chris and I, thought it might be fun, but it just didn't pan out. I mean, Chris and I have talked since Joel gave that speech, and what Joel said is not accurate. I've never had the experience of getting crushed in a Republican primary, Andrew. So I don't know what happens to your brain when you lose by like 60 to less than 10%. But apparently, it does something to your brain where the history that you've experienced is revised.
We'll just move on. It was amazing. It was really amazing. I will ask you this question. Obviously, you've had a lot to do this week dealing with Hope Florida and all that. This attack ad that DeSantis did at PSC against you and Michelle Salzman was at the same exact time as your hearing with the folks from the chairman of the board of Hope Florida Foundation, the executive director of Hope Florida, who has since resigned, and also the secretary of DCF. Do you believe it was timed on purpose at the same time?
Yeah, weird. What a coincidence. In fact, I tried to pull it up on mute on the screens in my committee room as we were going through the event at my committee meeting, but we're not allowed to use props, and that would have been deemed as a prop. I would describe Governor DeSantis' visit to Pensacola as a political prop, a stunt. He is very concerned about the revelations that have come out about how Medicaid money found its way into his chief of staff's PAC. And I think he was nervous enough to expend more taxpayer money on another political activity.
Sort of fueling the fire. Okay, let's talk more about some of the substance here, because I know I reported on, I think a lot of people didn't even realize this other hearing was going on, and it hasn't been super widely reported on, at least not, I don't know locally how much it's been reported on at all. I know I spent a lot of time on it yesterday because I thought it was very interesting. But we'll come back to this in just a second, talking to Alex Andrade, State Rep for District 2. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report right now. I-10, I-110, even 98 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Right, thanks so much, John. So obviously, we've done a lot of explaining the story around him, the Hope Florida Foundation, the $10 million and all of this. They had a meeting yesterday. It was defaced by hackers who were putting up pornography and swastikas and things like this. They had to cancel the Zoom and start over again. But I think you might have actually shown up to testify as a just, you know, citizen.
I did. And for those who haven't fully been following, what happened was there was a settlement with ACA, with a Medicaid managed care company, Medicaid money. That Medicaid money, they directed $10 million of that Medicaid money to go to the Hope Florida Foundation. Immediately upon it entering that bank account, James Uthmeyer, the governor's chief of staff, reached out to two dark money groups, told them both to ask for $5 million from the foundation. Without a board vote, both of those requests were granted. $5 million immediately left that account. And then the day after the money was wired to those two groups, they sent it to James Uthmeyer's PAC. We had a meeting about that on Tuesday. And then at this board meeting yesterday, I told this 501c3 charity, the Hope Florida Foundation, that they've been defrauded. And if they do not try and work to recoup the $10 million that they were defrauded out of by these two dark money groups, who both said they were not going to use this for political activity, they would be jeopardizing their IRS charity status. I mean, that's 10 of the 12 million this group has raised has gone to political activity. You cannot maintain your 501c3 status if that much money, well over like 80%+ has been spent on political activity. So if they want to maintain that status and look like they were not complicit in the money laundering and wire fraud that occurred, they have to go sue to go get that money back. Otherwise, they are complicit. And they did participate in the political activity.
What do you think is the ultimate outcome when it comes to particularly James Uthmeyer, or the, you know, the executive director, or the chairman of the board, or of the foundation, or of any? I mean, do you think people resign? We've already got at least one out. Do you think there's charges pending? Like, what do you think is the ultimate end game here?
Well, there have been two resignations now. One board member of the Hope Florida Foundation resigned yesterday as well.
Oh, okay. One of the five, where they're supposed to have seven?
Yeah, so Jake Farmer.
Okay.
A lobbyist here in town. He resigned before the meeting yesterday and was immediately replaced by DCF. They appointed someone new. I am convinced at this point, based on all the information that I have, that James Uthmeyer committed money laundering and wire fraud. I believe that another individual, Governor Sanchez's personal attorney, Jeff Aaron, has as well. They both reached out personally to these two groups and told them to take this money from the Hope Florida Foundation. And then that money immediately ended up in James's PAC. So I'm convinced of what happened based on the information that I have. And I believe that federal authorities are looking into it. So we'll see.
Wow. Okay. Let's switch gears just a little bit because there's so much other stuff going on. I guess it's kind of on the same track, but it's a little different angle. One of the concerns, I think, is the governor is still the governor. You and Michelle have clearly irritated him so heavily, you with this line of questioning, her with her sponsorship of the education bill, which passed by a well beyond a veto-proof majority, supermajority, if he chooses to veto and you guys want to override. I mean, are you worried the governor's going to line item veto Escambia and Santa Rosa projects because of you guys? I think that's a realistic political concern.
I'm not worried. I know it's going to happen. And that's the whole thing. With DeSantis, it's always been loyalty goes one way, and that's not really loyalty. I've known since January when our immigration fight happened that he was going to target me based on my support for Speaker Perez. So the only way that my projects, which are heavily funded right now in our legislative budgets, will actually end up coming to this community is if we do veto overrides. I believe that we will. We have the votes to conduct that veto override, so I think that's going to happen.
So presumably the governor is going to veto, assuming that it winds up passing all the way through 1321, the education bill. He's going to line item veto local spending projects that you and Michelle have gotten. Are we looking at a special session immediately after his vetoes? I mean, like in July or something? Is that what you think is going to happen?
Possibly. I think it depends on when we send in the budget. We're still in negotiations with the Senate. We have to get what's called an allocation agreed on between the two chambers before we can enter into conference, which is when we negotiate the budget between, you know, myself and my counterpart, Jay Trumbull, in the Senate. So until we get our tax packages resolved and we have an agreement on how much we're going to tax next year, we can't start working on our allocations in conference.
Okay.
So, you know, session might go long. We're not sure yet. But yeah, so I really couldn't tell you exactly a schedule for the next several months in the Florida legislature. I just know that the end result is going to have to be a veto override because DeSantis can't help himself.
Wow. Well, pretty discouraging, but, you know, that's why you have the power to veto override. Exactly. I want to ask you, obviously, yesterday in Tallahassee, you were in the Capitol. You had this horrible mass shooting, 2 people killed, 6 people wounded, and the gunman who was apparently the son of a law enforcement sheriff's deputy and used her old service weapon and maybe a shotgun that she had as well, or tried to use a shotgun. Capitol was on lockdown yesterday. You know, horrible event on FSU, second time in a decade, right? This happened at the library back in 2014 as well, or about a decade. I know the narrative is look at these horrible things that happen on campuses. My own reaction to this is I think, well, what if it had been my son, or what if my son had been there? And my son, who is now 21 and can buy, but would have maybe at 20 not been allowed to buy. I mean, my son would have definitely wanted to carry concealed. And if you have concealed carry on campus, you know, with an 18, 19, and 20-year-old able to protect themselves, maybe they managed to do what was done on this plane in Belize where an armed person stopped a man with a knife who was trying to kill people. Like, I know we all see things from different perspectives, but to me, the gun-free zone of campus and the under 21 gun-free prohibition, that is putting people's lives at risk. What do you think?
Oh, listen, I've always supported bringing the age back down to 18 for people to purchase firearms, and I've always supported campus carry. I hate conflating policy discussions with these acts of violence. All I could think about yesterday was my own experience at NAS Pensacola, you know, being on base and seeing the carnage of that attack, that terrorist attack. Goodness, now, like well over 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So it that trauma was rewoken just for me as someone who, you know, was there and saw the carnage in the aftermath and saw the toll it took on people. So my heart goes out to the folks at FSU. I know exactly what the majority of folks are feeling. My heart just breaks for them.
No, I agree with that. And I do too. I guess I get frustrated because I hear one side making its claim about what we need to do to protect people. And what I always think is there is a completely other side to this issue. And every time, especially it's a college campus, you're dealing with a set of the population that could, if we were willing to let them, be in a position to protect themselves, and they can't. Nor can the teachers on their behalf on a college campus. Every time I go to an event on campus, I think, well, I've got to leave my gun at home. I can keep my family safe in a restaurant. I can keep my family safe when we're at a movie theater. And I cannot keep anybody safe on a college campus because of this prohibition. And, you know, something like this reminds me of that, or reminds us of the possibility that, you know, some well-equipped younger person might also be able to do that, even if we're not there. Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the time. I know it's been a very, very unusual week for you. I've seen you handle it with the way you always do, and I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with employee benefits like health insurance, dental insurance, disability insurance, all of that stuff. Listen, if you love doing that or you think that it's great and your employees are super happy, great. I mean, do what you're doing. I'm not trying to fix a non-problem. But if there's any part of you that wonders if it could be better, or if you are frustrated, or if like it's too much work for you and you'd like to have somebody take care of it for you, that's what Torgerson Causey does. They are a comprehensive employee benefits agency since more than 2 decades, helping businesses like yours in this area. For us, we've been working with them since 2021, 4 years. Cat Country and News Radio have been using them, and they have been fantastic. Options, choices, better options than we had before. Fantastic customer service, and I'm a big fan. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey. No obligation to have them review what you're doing. Check the website out, tcbenefitsgroup.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays that's going to hinder your way in. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service.
Classic City Catering and an evening of music under the planes. Mayor D.C. Reeves will give the keynote address. Early bird tickets are $120. Tickets for this black tie gala will go fast. Get yours today at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
Join Dawn and Sarah Kay from Ashton and Avant Health 65 Plus Tuesday at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. April is Advanced Care Planning Month, and they'll be discussing the benefits of advanced care planning. Answer your questions, let you know how Ashton and Avant Health 65 Plus can help you, who they are, and where they're located.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
I mean, I told you not to go in that house.
Good morning, 657 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Gates Garcia is out. The second domino has fallen at UWF. Adam Kissel had gotten a lot of attention, and I've told you before many times that in my analysis of him and in watching him interact with the other board members, I actually think he's a good addition to the UWF board. But, you know, Scott Yenner, of course, left. And Gates Garcia, in my opinion, was the next most controversial one because he's the one that, you know, stood up for Scott Yenner, did not repudiate him in the meetings for his confirmation, and has been very cagey about all the reasons why he supports him. So I'm fine with him being out on the UWF board. We'll see if any others actually bow out or not, but, you know, big developments at UWF. You know, we'll see who gets put in their place instead. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Marco Rubio says the U.S. could abandon Ukraine if no progress is made in their peace talks with
Russia.
We're
not going to continue with this endeavor for weeks and months on end. So we need to determine very quickly now, and I'm talking about a matter of days, whether or not this is doable over the next, you know, few weeks.
Rubio says that President Trump has dedicated time and energy into the minerals deal with Ukraine, and Trump expects to sign a deal next week. Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen from Maryland finally met with Kilmar Abrego Garcia yesterday, who's in an El Salvadoran prison. Van Hollen and other Democrats want the government to bring him back to the U.S. President Trump extending the federal hiring freeze another 90 days. He signed an executive order yesterday ordering no federal government positions to be filled until mid-July and no new jobs created unless directed by his administration.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Pensacola Navy Days. You know, tonight we have a Navy Days themed gallery night. I'll be there from 5 to 6. Also, the Naval Aviation Museum, May 9th. Presented by Panera Credit Union, all kinds of things. Night at the Museum Gala. There's going to be boats down at Plaza Luna, big Coast Guard ships, among others, and a run, and all kinds of cool
local
stuff.
Local talk.